Hey, Joshy Rodder's just walked into the area, so we might get Joshy, while we're waiting for Moods to arrive with Mick Price, to give us the next instalment of his Caulfield Top 10. How are you, Josh?
I'm very well. Good morning to you, Nugget. Good morning, Matty.
Good morning, Joshy.
Yeah, great to be joining you both here at Caulfield. A little bit of a ghost town this morning.
It is.
Yeah, how do you wear this place on your sleeve. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, a little bit gutted. Yeah, it's... I struggled in the starting the top 10 talking to Nugget. He knows my history with this place.
But you get emotional just talking about it now.
Yeah. It changed my life as a teenager. Like, you know, I had a great upbringing, great parents, but I was just a lunatic. And the horses in this community, the racing community, I think people outside it don't understand how it works inside. Like, we run into each other at the Buchan picnics. Mm. You know, I go to Flemington on Melbourne Cup Day. I come to the stables, you know, the one thing I'm very proud of here at the Melbourne Racing Club is the stable wellbeing program that our CEO, Josh Blanksby, is very passionate about. And I really, to be able to drive that with some stable champions, I'm very proud of it. But I think people don't understand the community and the power of community.
Yeah.
You know, what power it's got.
Yeah.
We've just got to be careful we don't lose that.
Josh and I have a mutual friend, and I was around at this mutual friend's place last night, you know, my mate.
Yes.
And we were talking about Josh, and this is not to make you feel embarrassed, about how we don't know anyone in racing or racing administration who quite gets it like Josh does. The balance between the essential income streams and the wagering and that, but also the narrative of the community and the stories and the horse. And I think we both agreed, and he's known you for a long, long time as well, that Josh is such an important person in racing administration because he sees both sides of the fence more clearly than most. So,
thank you. Well, I think, I don't know if it's just racing. I was just talking to someone a bit earlier that probably sport's changed, hasn't it?
Mm.
You know, whether it's Aussie rules or cricket, sport's changed, you know, especially at the top level. And I think all sport's got to be careful they don't lose that connection with community.
Yeah.
So, very important.
Now, for those who have missed it, you've been constructing a top 10, and we are counting down to a day until we get to Saturday. Your 10th favourite moment was John Salinitri, Road to Success. Number 9 was Mick Price in his arrival here at Caulfield and his dominance. Number 8 was Frank King, the Master of Apprentices. Number 7 was Lord Lodge, the historic facilities. So,
the outstanding horsemen, the top class horses from there, yeah.
Now we're up to number 6.
Yes, so number 6. 6 and 5 are two people that I were probably at the peak of their powers before my time, but Jeff Murphy and Angus Armanasco. Matty and yourself were talking to Colin Little about them. Both very different trainers and very different people and how they operated. Start off with Jeff at number 6. Obviously, Gurner's Lane and Surround have to rate, you know, up with Black Caviar for their achievements here from the Caulfield Training Centre. I think Surround had 15 starts as a 3-year-old for 12 wins. She's still the only 3-year-old filly to win the Cox Plate. She won 3 Oaks in that season. Like, an amazing horse. And, you know, before my time, but Jeff, you know, listening to Colin, his ability to go and spec a horse that became a freak, an amazing ability. Also, Gurner's Lane to win the Caulfield Melbourne Cup, the only Caulfield trained horse to win the Cup Stubble. And 53.5 in the Caulfield Cup on a bog, got a 2.5 kilo penalty, had to carry the same weight, I think, as Kingston Town, who had won 13 Group 1s, and beat him. So I think he broke down after that. But two amazing horses that Jeff trained. In my time, probably the horse that, you know, I loved the Jess was Marwong. He still has the fastest ever railway run, Marwong.
Was he on the right end of the worst protest ever?
Yeah, yes. Our Poetic Prince.
Yes,
yeah,
in the Guineas.
Hey, can I just quickly interject with Colin Little on, you know how So You Think came along as this late in life gift to Bart Cummings? Wasn't everyone, not saying Colin's late in life, but wasn't it everyone in this tower chuffed that Colin Little found El Segundo?
Oh, amazing. Mm. Yeah. It's just the horse he deserved,
yeah.
You know, and yeah, I'm sure he looks back at it fondly. But also about Murph as well is, I think Caulfield, people don't realise that before Jeff Murphy, trainers here had 8 to 12 horses in work. It was like the Battlers Training Centre. You know, there was a place called Poverty Grove, you know. And before Jeff came along, you know, he was a foreman, I think, for Basil Connigan. And a lot of amazing racing people came through that stable. Jeff was the one that became big first here. Angus, and the next one, so then we go on to Angus Armanasco. Now, so Angus, when I started here at Rob McGuinness's, he had the stables out the back and the brown brick house that still stands next to Glen Ira College.
With the shag pole carpet.
Yeah, that's it. We have to throw a party in there before it anything happens to that place. I think, you know, as far as Angus goes, his brother Neil trained in the community stables, and then Angus came in, I think, in the early 60s. But he won the first Blue Diamond with Tolerance in 1971. He had some amazing horses. When you go back to Zetative, I think he had 9 starts as a 2-year-old for 8 wins. Came back as a 3-year-old and won the William Reid, you know, weight for age Group 1s. And then his impact on the breeding, you know, situation here, seen in Australia. You know, that whole Star Kingdom line, Bletchingley, Biscay, Zetative. Then you've got all those Tennessee horses.
Tennessee,
so that were the horses.
Yeah.
Tennessee Bane, Tennessee Magic, Tennessee Morn, that was the dam of Mullagira. So all those horses were there when I sort of started there in the early 90s. He had Michael Barlow there as an apprentice. He had John Salinitri as an apprentice. The horse that was there when I was there, there was a very good sprinter that never won a Group 1, was Al-Anon.
Yeah.
He was a half-brother by No Alcoholic to Zetative.
He was.
Talking to Lynn Armanasco, his daughter, who lives up in Queensland these days, they still run the Sandown Lodge brand Mr. Dixon and Angus ran together. So you still see some of those bloodlines, the white with the purple sash, gold cap.
He won the very first Australian Guineas with True Version.
There you go,
And the Goucher was on board.
So I think when you think back at this place, Murphy and Armanasco, they were the ones that really probably changed the dynamic of Caulfield.
Absolutely.
And paved the way for people like Mick Price.
Because it was always the little brother of Flemington, wasn't it?
Until
the big guns came in.
Yeah, exactly. So,
all right, Josh.
I'm sure everyone's got probably better memories of Angus and Jeff than me, obviously, that lived through a lot of those horses. You know, you've still got, Grosvenor, Sovereign Red. I think Gauchy's first ride in the Melbourne Cup was on Chagamar, you know, for Jeff Murphy.
Mm.
So some amazing horses that have gone through both those wonderful horsemen's hands.
All right, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's instalment. And then we have the top couple on Saturday morning when we're live out here from their mounting yard. Joshy, thank you.
No
great
worries.
As always, Joshy Rodder. Hey, Matty, just before we leave and take a break and come back with Mick Price and Peter Moody, one other piece of news too, which we forgot to mention. Last night at the races, Adam Trinder trained a winner. Post-race, he alluded to the fact that he's pretty much going to retire Mystic Journey, which would have surprised many. This is what Adam Trinder had to say last night.
I spoke to you 2 weeks ago about Mystic Journey. He wears those same colours. You're a little bit undecided what the plans were going forward. Has there been any decisions made there?
Yeah, so she's in the paddock. We're still to have a meeting as to whether we do continue forward. Sort of, she's been a tremendous mare for us. She's done a job. She owes us nothing. So that conversation's got to be had. But she may go out a retired prospect. That's got a fantastic record.
We'll wait for that final decision to be made. Well done, Adam.
Thank you.
All right, that was with Duncan Dornoff last night. So that's a bit surprising. I thought she raced really well with that much luck throughout the spring.
Yeah.
You hate her. You
no,
know,
no, I love her. I just thought that retirement was probably looming.
Yeah, I thought she could get another win.
You want to race all those champions till they're 13, so.
Speaking of champions, that's up next. I haven't seen Moons yet, but Mick Price is here champion at the bit. He won't be far away, Moons. More to come on Racing Pulse.